The woman in at the centre of the sex scandal, she's been given the pseudonym Claire. So that's as much as we know about her identity. Her face has been pixelated out. We don't know anything about her. She lives in Asia. She becomes this, I guess we'll say, mysterious figure. It doesn't really matter. She's an anonymous woman who had... Well, she was involved in a sex act with a number of NRL players. And I guess that idea of the fact that we don't actually know anything about her, the focus just becomes she was a vessel, she was there to be had sex with. The focus is on the men and this strange bonding experience that they had over her body, which I think isn't the focus of the media attention. The media attention seems to be on this as an atrocious thing, but I think that that's framed in the, I guess, antiquated ideas about what sexual behaviour should be like, and there's questions about consent being discussed as well, but the focus is on that being an outrageous sexual act. I'd be more interested in looking at the fact that a unique kind of bonding happened over her body. That's more disturbing for me, the fact that men would actually, you know, it didn't matter who she was, she just became an anonymous body to have sex with while they were engaged in a more broader social activity. And we saw a very similar thing happen with the Paran Football Club in Victoria in the last couple of days, where a stripper was hired to rev up the guys before a match. This seems to me quite disturbing, that women are again being used as just an objectified figure to sexually stimulate men in their own company, as though it legitimises the bonding that they're participating in on the side. The fact that there's a woman there, we're not gay. There's nothing dubious here because we've got a woman there, but in fact that woman's completely anonymous. We know nothing about her. She just becomes a body. The idea of that anonymous body, I did, my first book was on outdoor advertising, so I looked at billboards and tram shelter ads displayed around Melbourne, and I continue to look even though that's not my research now. I keep watching what's in billboards, what are we seeing, and something that I noticed when I did my research initially and also now is this tendency to photograph women without heads. It sounds quite odd, but the literature will talk about this as decapitation. The ads seem to be strategically cropped under a neck, between the knee, almost that idea that we don't actually care who that woman is, the focus is on her body. So she's completely without intelligence, without personality, without intellect. The focus is on her body to draw attention to a product. Again, she's there as a distraction and a decoration to draw attention to something that's often completely unconnected to her, identity at all. It's all about her body being used to sell something. And that idea of having her without a face means, again, like Claire in the NRL scandal or like the stripper in Paran, we don't know anything about this woman because ultimately she doesn't matter. On one hand, I think it's a good idea to have education programs in school teaching, not necessarily about feminism or respect for women, but gender mainstream, this idea that, you know, respect for women, respect for men as well, this idea that we should have, you know, a general set of human treatment and how to treat one another properly, etc. I would be dubious of framing it as though as an education around how to treat women better, as though, because you might get resentment from men having to attend that course, which worries me. I would hate to, and I just remember from being my time at school, there would be a token aspect to it. Men would be treating this as, oh, we have to go and do that. That's part, and, you know, very much the way I treat having to do training courses at the university. It's that idea, I have to go, so I'm reluctant and I'm dismissive of it before I even go in. It has to be framed as something more than being about how to properly treat women, because I also think that's a little bit patronising. I think we need to move the debate away from promiscuity and move it away from how women should act sexually to more about how we should treat one another, and in a broader framework of sexual education. My research is on advertising and that idea of change. We've been talking about sexist representations of women in advertising for 40 years. And the fact that the advertising landscape looks even worse now than it did when Betty Friedan first spoke about the issue in the early 60s, that makes me quite lamenting. I worry about that, because now it's almost, if we put a scantily clad woman in a billboard now, there's some sort of supposed irony there, as though oh, well, it's funny because we're just harking back to how advertising looked in the 70s. But we've never actually had a time of advertising where we didn't exploit women. So I think that trickles into all kinds of media as well, not just advertising. I think you've got roles for women in cinema and television very much centre on a young, attractive woman whose role does not really involve so much substance as her decorativeness and her prettiness and her getting a part simply because she's good looking. And that has huge ramifications. Women who don't fit a very narrow, usually white aesthetic, but also older women who don't, who can't look like that, and how that feeds into body image and all those issues that we hear plenty about in the media.